يقول: هل من نصيحة للمتحمسين للعمليات الانتحارية؟ هذه العمليات كما سماها صاحبها هي انتحارية، وقد حذر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قتل النفس، وبين أن من قتل نفسه بشيء فلا يزال يقتل نفسه يوم القيامة به ويعذب به. من قتل نفسه بسم فهو لا يزال يتحسس سم، ومن قتل نفسه بحديدة فلا يزال يقتل نفسه بحديدة يعذب به يوم القيامة، ومن قتل نفسه بعبوة متفجرة لا يزال يعذبه ربه سبحانه وتعالى بتلك العبوة المتفجرة، يفجر نفسه ويعذبها كما قتل نفسه في الدنيا بغير حق، وهذا لا يجوز.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. This is a question that was put forward to Sheikh Abu Abd Rahman Abdullah Ibn Umar Al-Adani Hafidhahullah Ta'ala on the last Jumu'ah of Ramadan in the year 1429 after Hijrah. The questioner is saying, is there a piece of advice for those youngsters who have been overcome by the zeal of suicidal bombings? So Sheikh Abdullah Hafidhahullah Ta'ala answered, like the questioner said, these actions are suicidal actions, and verily the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallama has warned against committing suicide and has clarified that whoever kills his own self with something, then he will ongoingly continue killing his own self with this thing on the day of resurrection, and he will be tormented by it. So whoever kills himself with poison, then he will ongoingly feel this poison. And whoever kills himself with iron, meaning knife or sword or anything else like that, then he will ongoingly continue killing himself with this iron, and he will be tormented by it on the day of resurrection. So whoever kills himself with a bomb by blowing himself up, then he will ongoingly be tormented by this bomb and continuing blowing himself up with it on the day of resurrection as a torment that Allah puts upon him, because just in the same way he has killed himself in the dunya without right, this will happen to him.
مع ما في هذا الفعل من المفاسد العظيمة للخاصة والعامة. قد يقول قائل: هؤلاء أرادوا قتل الكفار أو أرادوا كذلك الإصلاح، فيقال: وهل كل ما اشتهاه الإنسان وظن أنه أراده بنية حسنة دل ذلك على أنه عمل حسن؟ الجواب: لا، بل ينبغي أن تعرض الأعمال على الكتاب والسنة وعلى فهم سلف الأمة وعلى وفق ما يفتي العلماء الراسخون في العلم. لست أهلا يا أخي المسلم ويا أيها الشاب المليء بالعاطفة التي ربما هي عاطفة فارغة عن العلم، لست أهل يا أيها الشاب أن تفتي نفسك في مسائل في الطهارة وفي مسائل في الصيام وفي مسائل في الطلاق وغيرها من أحكام الشرع، فأنت تعرف قدر نفسك وتضطر أن تسأل أهل العلم الراسخين، تسألهم عن الطهارة ودخول الخلاء، تسألهم عن أحكام في الصلاة إذا وقع لك سهو أو وقع خطأ، تسألهم عن أحكام الطلاق، معترف بأنك جاهل ومقصر ولست أهل في هذا الباب، فكيف يجوز لك أن تفتي نفسك في دماء وشيء يتعلق بالأمن وأمور عظيمة مثل هذه وتهمش هؤلاء العلماء الراسخين في العلم وتترك ما يفتون به من تحريم هذه الأفعال وأنها أفعال الخوارج وأنها أفعال محرمة غير جائزة وأن فيها من المفاسد للعامة والخاصة الشيء الكثير؟ فينبغي عليك أن تتعقل وأن تعلم أن من يغذيك بهذه الفتاوى فهو من المفسدين. وممن يريد لك الشر. وإلا فلماذا هذا المفتي الذي يفتي بهذه الفتوى لا يتقرب إلى ربه بفعل هذا لنفسه؟ اسأله بدلا من أن تفتي هؤلاء الشباب، لماذا لا تفعل أنت هذا؟ سبحان الله، كيف يرضون لأبناء المسلمين بهذا الشر، مع أنه والله لا يجوز لا له ولا لغيره، لكن لأجل أن تعلموا أنه يوجد في صفوف المسلمين من هؤلاء الذين يستغلون عواطف هؤلاء الشباب فيما يدفعونهم إلى الفساد والإفساد.
Then, after the fact that these actions are haram within themselves, we have to mention that those actions encompass enormous evils for the entire community. So, if somebody says, these people only wanted to kill the kuffar and they wanted to improve the situation of the Muslims, then we say, and is it that everything which the everything what the human being desires and thinks that he wanted this thing with a good intention, is this a proof that this intention is good, that this action is good? Then after these actions being prohibited we mention that these actions encompass enormous evils for the entire community. So, if somebody says, those people by doing this only wanted to kill the kuffar and they wanted to improve the situation of the Muslims, then it is said to them, and is it that everything that the human being desires or thinks that he is doing it with a good intention, is this a proof that this action is good? The answer, no. Rather, it is upon us to put our actions upon the scales of the Quran and the Sunnah, and the understanding, based upon the understanding of the Salaf of this Ummah, and being in accordance with the fatawa of the al-ulama al-rasikhuna fil ilm, the scholars who are firmly grounded into knowledge. Because you are not in right, O my Muslim brother, O youngster, who is filled with emotions that are maybe completely empty of knowledge. You are not in right to give fatawa for yourself in matters of tahara, purification, or in matters of fasting, or in matters of divorce, and other than that from the rulings of the Sharia, because you are aware of your own level, and you are forced to go back to the al-ulama al-rasikhun, the scholars who are firmly grounded into knowledge. You are asking them about the rulings of tahara, the rulings of going into the bathroom, the rulings of praying, what you have to do if you have made a mistake in your prayer, and so on and so forth. You ask them about the rulings of divorce, because you admit that you are ignorant and that you are shortcoming. So, if you are not in right to make fatawa for yourself in these issues that we have just mentioned, how could you be in right to make fatawa for yourself in issues that are linked to the blood of the people, and issues that are linked to the safety of the whole community, and other huge issues? And how could you be in right to leave away the ulama al-rasikhun, the scholars who are firmly grounded into knowledge, leave them away, and leave away the fatawa, which explain the reason why those actions are prohibited, and they explain that those actions are from the action of the Khawarij, and that those actions encompass huge evils for the entire community. Rather, it is upon you to use your reasoning, and to know that those people who are feeding you with those fatawa, they want to corrupt you, and there are people who want evil for you. Because how come those people, this mufti who has given this fatwa to you, how come this person does not want to come closer to his Lord by doing it himself? Ask him, rather than you telling those youngsters to go and blow themselves up, why don't you do it yourself? Subhanallah. How can those people be pleased with this evil happening to the Muslim youngsters? And verily, it is not permissible for him, nor for other than him, but just for you to know that there are in between our ranks those people who are using the emotions of the youngsters, and they are using those emotions to make the youngsters fall into fasad, fall into corruption and evil.
ثم بعد ذلك يقال هذه الأعمال في الحقيقة مفاسدها أعظم من مصالحها وهي محرمة، ومع ذلك فيها مفاسد أكثر وأكثر يزداد بذلك حرمتها. كم من المسلمين الذين قتلوا، وكم من الأموال التي كذلك أضيعت بسبب هذه الأفعال؟ هل هذا شيء يرضى عنه الشرع؟ النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام حذر من القتل عموما والنفس ونفس المسلم على وجه الخصوص، وقد صح عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أن المرأة لا يزال في فسحة من دينه ما لم يسفك دما حراما. هذا الدم الحرام ولو كان دم كافر، حتى ولو كان كافرا لا يجوز لك أن تقتله وهو حرام الدم. وممن هو حرام الدم من الكفار الذمي الذي يدفع الجزية للمسلمين، ومن هؤلاء المعاهد الذي بينه وبين المسلمين عهد كحال أكثر الكفار في الدنيا اليوم، فإن بين المسلمين وبين الكفار في هذا الزمان عهود ينبغي ألا تنقض وألا كذلك تسقط ما دام الكفار يقومون بمقتضاها والمسلمون يقومون بمقتضاها، فيجب الوفاء بالعهود. وهذه من أخلاق أهل الإسلام ومن عقيدة أهل الإسلام. وهكذا كذلك المستأمن ولو كان حربيا إذا دخل إلى بلاد الإسلام بأمان، ولو بأمان رجل واحد مسلم، قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام لامرأة وهي امرأة من المسلمين: لقد أجرنا من أجرت يا أم هانئ، يعني حفظنا دم الرجل الذي أدخلتيه بأمان. انظر، حفظ الإسلام أمان رجل كافر حربي قاتل المسلمين وقتل من المسلمين من قتل، لأنه دخل بأمان امرأة مسلمة إلى بلاد الإسلام. فكيف بمن يدخل بإذن ولاة أمور المسلمين وبأمانهم؟ هذا أشد وأولى بالحفظ، فينبغي أن ننتبه لهذا. فليس كل كافر حلال الدم.
So we say, these actions first of all encompass many evils and they are haram, and the degree of prohibition gets bigger and bigger because of those many evils that come along with those actions. How many Muslims have been killed through these actions? How much wealth has been lost because of these actions? Is this something which the Sharia is agreeing upon? Is this something which the Sharia is pleased with? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam warned against killing in general, and he warned against killing the Muslim in particular. For verily, it has been authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, verily, the person stays in a state of ease in his religion as long as he does not shed haram blood. And this haram blood can be the blood of a kafir. Even if he is a kafir, it is not permissible for you to kill him, because he is haramud dam. His blood is haram for you to shed. And from those kuffar, which are not permissible to be killed, is the dhimmi. The dhimmi, he is the one who is living in the Muslim lands and who is paying the jizya to the Muslims. And from those kuffar who are haram to be killed is the mu'ahad. The mu'ahad, he is the one who has an agreement with the Muslims. And this is the case of most of the kuffar in the dunya nowadays. Because verily, there are agreements between the Muslims and the kuffar. And the agreements, they have to be respected and not broken. As long as the kuffar stick to whatever is implied by these agreements. And respecting the agreement is an obligation of our religion. And this is from the behavior of the people of Islam. And this is from the aqidah of Islam. And also from those kuffar is the musta'man. Even if he is harbi, meaning a person who is fighting the Muslims. The musta'man, he is the one who entered the territories of Islam and the countries of Islam by aman. Aman meaning safety. Even if this safety has been granted to him by a single Muslim. Because verily the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam said to a woman, and she's a woman from amongst the Muslims, لَقَدْ أَجَرْنَا مَنْ أَجَرْتِ يَا أُمَّ هَانِ. Verily, we have taken under our protection the one you have taken under your protection, Ya Umma Hani. Meaning, we have protected the blood of the man that you have made enter our lands under Aman, under safety. So look here, look how Islam protected the Aman of a Kafir who is a Harbi. He was fighting the Muslims and he was killing Muslims, he has killed Muslims. And Islam is protecting his blood because he entered through the aman of a Muslim woman. So how is it when a kafir enters the Muslim lands through the aman of the Muslim rulers? Because verily the aman is more in right to be respected. So it is upon us to pay attention to that sort of issue and understand that not every kafir is halalud dam, meaning permissible to be killed.
فكيف إذا انضاف إلى ذلك أن هذه الأفعال في الحقيقة ربما يهيج إليها بعض الكفار، صار بعض الكفار يمد بعض هؤلاء الخوارج أهل دعوة التكفير بأنواع المد المادي والمعنوي الحسي وغير الحسي لإثارة مثل هذا الشغب والفوضى ومثل هذه الأفعال، والمقصود من ذلك إيجاد الذرائع للتسلط على المسلمين. فيقال انظروا أنتم ما تستطيعون تحفظون الأمن، إذن يتدخل الكفار، ثم تكون الضربات المتوالية بأفعال هؤلاء المتهورين الذين يهيجون. ولا أدل على مثل هذا المعنى ما نراه من حفظ هذه الدول الكافرة لزعماء هذه الدعوات، دعوات التكفير. انظروا أين رؤوس هؤلاء التكفيريين، هم في بريطانيا، هم في بريطانيا. إذا كانت هذه الدول حقيقة هي تريد الانتقام من هؤلاء، فدعاة رؤوس التكفير في بريطانيا. بل لا يخفى عليكم ما جرى في المحاكمات الأخيرة من لبعض رؤوس هؤلاء التكفيريين في تلك البلاد، وكان قد ألقي القبض عليه لقيامه ببعض الأعمال في بلاد المسلمين. انظر الإفساد في بلاد المسلمين ثم يحتمي ببلاد الكفار. فلما حكم عليه بأن يسلم إلى تلك البلاد المسلمة التي أفسد فيها هذا التكفيري وهذا المفسد الذي قتل أو كان متسببا في قتل عدد من المسلمين وغير المسلمين في بلاد الإسلام، لما قضت المحكمة بتسليمه رفعت قضية بأنه لو سلم ربما قتل. فإذا كان كذلك، إذن قررت دولة بريطانيا أن تحفظ هذا التكفيري حتى لا يقتل ويحفظ في بريطانيا. هل هذا من يفعلونه لخدمة الإسلام والمسلمين، أو يفعلونه لأجل أن يجعلوا هؤلاء ذرائع يدخلون بها الشغب والإفساد على بلاد المسلمين؟ كل عاقل يعلم ما هو المقصود من مثل هذه الأفعال. فلنحذر ولنعلم أن هذه الطرق وهذا الفكر فكر منحرف وطرق غير صحيحة، وأنه يجب على المسلمين عامة والشباب خاصة أن يرجعوا إلى العلماء الراسخين في العلم ويتفقهوا في أحكام دينهم عموما وفي هذه المسائل الشرعية على وجه الخصوص. أكتفي بهذا، وإلى هنا والله تعالى أعلم، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم، وجزاكم الله خيرا.
Then we say, what about the fact that these actions in reality are supported by the kuffar? For verily, some kuffar have now started supporting the khawarij, the people of the da'wah of takfir, through different types of support: financial support, material support, and non-material support. All of this as to spread mess and disorder in the countries of the Muslims. And the point in doing this is simply for them, for those people, to open doors to the kuffar, so that they can start getting involved in the issues of the Muslims. It will be said, look, you are unable to keep safety in your own countries. So they start getting involved in the private issues of the Muslim countries. And then because of that, you will see harm after harm befalling the Muslims in their own countries. And the strongest proof for this is what we see from the protection that the kuffar countries give to the heads of takfir today. Look, where do the heads of takfir live? They live in Great Britain. If these countries really wanted to make justice for what happened, well, the people who are calling to this way of doing things live right with them in Great Britain. And it is not unknown to you what happened recently in the courts when some of the du'at of takfir and the people of takfir were caught in those countries. What happened is that one of the takfiris had spread fasad in one of the Muslim countries and had taken actions in which a number of Muslims and non-Muslims were killed. Then he fled, seeking refuge in the lands of the kuffar. Then judgment was passed over him that he should be handed over to the authorities of these Muslim countries in which he had spread corruption. After that, the case of this man was raised to a higher court, and it was claimed that if he was to be handed over, he might be executed. So the state of Great Britain decreed that in order to preserve this takfiri from being executed, they would protect him in Great Britain and keep him in Great Britain. So, are they doing this as a service for Islam and the Muslims? Or are they doing this in order to have those people open doors for them by doing ifsad, corruption and mess in the Muslim countries? Every person who has a sound mind knows what is the real point behind those actions. So we should beware, and we should know that these way of doing things come from a deviated way of thinking, and that these way are not authentic and not correct in our Sharia. And it is upon the Muslims in general, and the youngsters in particular, to go back to the ulama ar-rasikhuna fil ilm, the scholars who are firmly grounded into knowledge, and for the youngsters and the Muslims in general to get a proper understanding of the rulings of their religion, the rulings in general and the rulings upon these issues in particular. And we shall stop here inshallah ta'ala. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, wa jazakumullahu khairan.